And you're listening to Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Good morning. I'm Steve Johnson with Raven News. The Sitka School Board and the public got its first look at what might be a cut if the district's budget doesn't improve. The Sitka School District was starting with a nearly $1.3 million deficit, but that number has improved since earlier budget discussions, where money was pulled from reserves to help close the gap. Also, some anticipated money from the state, along with more from reserves, are helping the district make up some ground. Savings in health and insurance costs and planned reduction of paraprofessional employees are also resulting in some savings. The deficit has been reduced to $340,000, which could still mean some painful choices for the district. KCAW's Ed Ronco was at the meeting where they discussed the budget Thursday night.
With an audience of parents, teachers, and students looking on, Superintendent Steve Bradshaw distributed a list of ideas labeled possible cuts.
There's nothing on this sheet that I'm recommending. These are just the things that we've talked about at this point.
Bradshaw emphasized that the items on the list are just ideas. Here are some of them. Doing away with art at the middle and high schools would save $180,000. Eliminating the high school activities director job could save up to $90,000. Combining the assistant superintendent and the special education director could save $100,000. And the list of possible cuts goes on. The librarian at Keith Gushaheen Elementary School, the cultural program, the auditorium technician, the middle school shop program, music in early elementary school, coaching stipends, the swimming pool at Blatchley Middle School.
Please don't let me get you guys in trouble, but I'm at that point where enough is enough.
Again, Superintendent Steve Bradshaw addressing the school board.
You know, would I want to shut down the swimming pool? We're not even sure when Edgecombe is going to have their pool. And the last thing we need in this community is to have a swimming pool that we have to shut down. Because that's major recreation for this community. Do I want to not pay our coaches? I mean, we ask our coaches to do more than any place I've ever been before. Most coaches would laugh at us for saying, we're going to pay you $3,500 and you're going to have to go out and raise 60 grand to do what you need to do to travel this year.
Bradshaw said the bottom line, though, is that any of the cuts will have an impact on the way the district serves its students. Students in the audience had suggestions.
So if you got rid of, I think, half of your technology budget, you would completely get rid of this budget deficit.
Sitka High School sophomore Kaya Pike said teachers are more important than technology and that the tech is simply a classroom aid.
It makes more sense to remove one aid and let them have many other aids in the forms of, you know, activities helping students want to be a school culture programs, helping students in other ways, tutors and mentors in other areas. It seems like that would be a little bit more important than this, you know, technological crutch that is such a drain on our budget.
Student school board member Nicole C. Hafer also made that point, that students don't need the technology as much as they need the teachers, and that in many classrooms the tech is not being used to its fullest extent anyway. The district is planning to spend $427,000 on tech next year, part of a plan to ramp up its support for technology in classrooms and throughout the district's offices. School board member Tim Fulton asked if there was any wiggle room, some tech needs that might be deferred until finances improve. School board president Lon Garrison says that's worth looking at, and that he understands concerns that the district is somehow swapping out teachers in favor of technology. But he said improving technology in the district has been a long-held priority by the board, and that he's hesitant to back away from it.
I mean, we were so close 2 years ago to having the entire district basically stop. I mean, it wasn't just in the classroom technology. It was the business office. It was, you teachers know as well as anybody, that email wasn't working. You couldn't go from one building to another. So, I mean, there's a lot of different aspects of it.
Bradshaw said he will follow the board's directions on how to zero out the deficit. But he also said the district has cut everything it could possibly cut. And he reiterated that any cuts will hurt programs.
At the same time, if we have to cut $311,000 and you want me to prioritize this, I would do it. But I think we take it to the assembly, we run with it, and if they don't want to fund us, we burn our reserves and next year we go back at it.
The city annually contributes money to the school district, but the city budget is expected to be tight this year, and so school officials are not counting on an increase in that funding. If the district resorts to burning through its reserves, it could find itself in a risky position should an unexpected expense come up. The board wrapped up the work session by asking Bradshaw to develop three options. The most drastic would leave only $150,000 in reserves. The least drastic would leave about $400,000. A final vote on the budget had been planned for March 19th, but that could change. The school board is considering whether to hold off until the assembly considers additional funding for the schools on March 27th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The budget also calls for the addition of both a special education teacher and an elementary school teacher. The elementary teacher is to address an increased number of first grade students expected next year. Sitka tries to keep its first grade classrooms below 20 students. Also last night, Sitka School District Board President Lon Garrison reported that a critical piece of federal funding for schools and communities took a step forward this week. 1 year's worth of Secure Rural Schools and Communities Act was added to the larger transportation bill in the U.S. Senate. Attaching the money to the larger package gives it a stronger chance of passage through Congress. The amendment to add Secure Rural Schools funding got 82 votes in favor. School Board President Lon Garrison said it could keep up to $500,000 flowing to the district, although it's not guaranteed without further congressional action. Governor Sean Parnell has also moved to add $30 million in a one-time funding for Sitka School District, primarily for energy and transportation needs. That's outside the three-year increase in per-student funding that Sitka and other school districts want the state to approve. Parnell opposes the increase. Garrison said approving 3 years' worth of funding would increase for schools. Districts would give boards more ability to plan their budgets. He says inaction on the idea is unacceptable. Voting on a plan to reduce the number of Southeast Alaska purse seine permits could start by the end of the month. Fishermen will be deciding on a buyback program that would remove 64 permits from the limited entry fishery. A representative from National Marine Fisheries Service answered questions from fleet members in Southeast Alaska last week about details on the voting, debt repayment, and prices that will be paid for permits if the fleet approves. KFSK's Joe Vicnicki has the story.
About two dozen seine skippers turned out to a meeting in Petersburg. It was one of four informational sessions held this month by the federal agency's Fishing Capacity Reduction Program team leader, Michael Sturtevant.
It's been talk for a long time, and now we're beyond talk. It is reality. One way or another, it's decision time here in another few weeks.
The decision is whether the fleet wants to take on a debt of just over $13 million to buy out 64 permits and remove them from the fishery. Remaining fleet members would repay that loan with a fee of up to 3% on future landings. Each of the 379 permits will have one vote in the upcoming referendum, so people who own two permits get two votes, and it'll take a majority of the total permits, or 190 yes votes, for the buyback to be approved. Sturtevant said the mail-out voting will be open for 30 days.
It'll start sometime the end of March. Again, we'll publish another Federal Register notice to announce that when we send out the ballots, too. And I'll try to publicize that as much, but the referendum period will go towards the end of April.
Sturtevant said if the fleet approves the buyback, fishermen will have to start paying that 3% fee in the upcoming seine season. Seafood processing companies will collect the money and send it in to NIMFs. The fee is capped at 3%, and it will be set at that amount in the first year, but it can be reduced if catches and prices remain strong and fishermen don't see the need for quickly paying off a 40-year loan. Bruce Marifern thought it made sense to pay back the loan over a longer period of time.
It makes sense that those future generations are going to benefit from the program. They can chip in a percent down the road somewhere. Why pay it off in the next 2 years on these shoulders when those that are coming behind are going to benefit as well? Let them, let the program term out in 25, 30 years.
Another question was about whether the permits could someday be reissued by the state. The Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission's Bruce Twomley said the CFEC would first have to perform a study on the optimum number of permits for the fishery. He said that study would have to show the optimum number was higher than the status quo and called that possible but not likely.
Because the targets the commodities program pretty much reflect what the fishery will support now. And then you have your retiring permits, many of which aren't being fished. That's a safe target.
Of the 379 permits, only 270 made landings last year. That was an increase from the year before, likely due to strong returns and some of the highest prices the fleet has seen in decades. Supporters of the buyback say boat numbers have grown and the fleet itself has become more efficient at catching fish since the permits were initially issued. And opponents don't see the point in removing permits that aren't being fished and think fewer fleet members means less of a political voice for fishermen. Then there's the issue of the prices the buyback program will be paying for permits. An organization called the Southeast Revitalization Association sought bids from fishermen willing to sell. The accepted bids averaged $205,000 for a permit. Values have gone up substantially since the permit prices bottomed out in 2002. Just this past January, the CFEC valued a Southeast seine permit at nearly $153,000. That's about eight times what that same permit was worth a decade ago. Fisherman Andy Kittums thought the buyback price was a tough sell.
So I guess my question is, you've got 30 guys here in the room that have all would either issued a permit or had to buy a permit, and some people have sold permits, and nobody in this room has ever sold one or bought one for $205,000.
Correct.
Now you're asking all of us as a group to say, hey, let's go buy 60 some of these things at record prices.
2011 saw record high value for the seine fleet, with the catch worth over $112 million at the docks. If strong prices and good catches continue in future years, it could pave the way for a quick repayment of the buyback debt and possibly set the stage for a second round of permit reductions. Fishermen